Let's go. We are in Parsha Vayera, and I'll try to keep this short. That's our goal for today. It happens to be that the content of this comment of Shadal is short itself, and it's about shortness. So it's kedai to make it short. Okay, so what happened was, and we read it yesterday, that God appeared to, or told Moshe, that he appeared to Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, and with a certain name, with Kel Shaddai, and didn't make known to them his Yokevavke name. We discussed what that could possibly mean. And he says, God says, tell Bnei Yisrael the following story. And it's a really long story. I established a covenant with them that they would be go into a land. Homeland is in Canaan. And they would go into Egypt, and they would become slaves, and I would remember them, and I will take them out from there. I'll take them out of slavery and save them. There's a lot of different languages of redeeming the Jewish people, okay? And then I'm going to take them. I'm going to be a God for them, right? And they shall know that I am the Lord, right? Okay. So that's a really nice speech. It goes over the course of something like 7 psukim, something like that. And it's a really long story. And you can imagine Moshe, you know, comes down. He's told to tell this to Bnei Yisrael, right? So he goes down, and he's like, you know, he doesn't have a microphone. He's just going from person to person and saying this, reciting this whole thing, presumably. Or maybe, you know, it's like in Harry Potter where you have like his staff and it amplifies the sound or something like that. Maybe Joe has seen that in the Midrash. I wouldn't be surprised, but. Anyway, so it actually does say that Vayidaber Moshe came. So Moshe did say this whole story, El Bnei Yisrael to Bnei Yisrael. V'lo shemu el Moshe mikotzer ruach me'avoda kasha. And they did not listen to Moshe out of, right, kotzer ruach, shortness of breath or wind, literally, or shortness of spirit, perhaps. U'me'avoda kasha, and with because of great or harsh work. Okay, so that's the reason they didn't listen to him. So I would say, you know, if I'm trying to imagine the story, the reason they didn't listen to him is because they couldn't hear him. Like, that's really what it means. They, you know, they couldn't hear him. But presumably, you know, he had it, whatever the logistics were to be able to tell Bnei Yisrael, he told Bnei Yisrael, and they refused to listen to him in some way. And so the question is, what does Mikotzer Ruach mean? And whatever Mikotzer Ruach means, it's got to be set apart, it would seem, from Avodah Kasha. Okay? So, what does shortness of spirit or shortness of breath mean to you? When you say that Bnei Yisrael could not hear Moshe or could not listen to Moshe, Mikotzer Ruach, you would normally say, I think, what seems like more pshat.
That they didn't want to?
Oh, interesting. Like, but why would it describe it as Kotzer Ruach? I would think most pshat is to read Kotzer Ruach and Avodah Kasha as like the same thing in some way, even though there is a vav there. And the Chizkuni says this. And it sounds like from the Chizkuni, he translates it as from shortness of breath because they are out of breath. Like when somebody is breathing really hard, it's very difficult to listen to other people, right? You know, they're constantly working at really hard work. Okay, that is not what Rashi says. So Rashi says that actually Mikotzer Ruach, we're mistranslating it. It translates to being in a great affliction. They were in great affliction. They had psychological affliction, and therefore they couldn't listen to him. All right, so that's what Rashi says, and Shadal accepts that completely. And there's an interesting reason, it seems to me, why Shadal accepts that. He says, Kol Mishu Hu Mitzar, anyone who is in an afflicted state or has anxiety, I think is how Dan Klein translates it, Rucho V'Nishimato Ketzara. Well, his spirit or his breath is shortened. I guess if a person is in worked up and in having a panic attack, you know, they're having short breaths. It's very difficult to breathe. V'Niyachol La'arich V'Nishimato. And the idea is they can't take long breaths. They're having a really hard time. Yeah, it's funny, actually. This is ironic that I'm talking about shortness of breath and coughing and coronavirus and all that. But anyway, you know, when someone's having a panic attack, the classic move is to give them a brown paper bag, and they're able to, like, slow down and take the breaths that they need, right? So that's what Rashi says. Shaddai completely signs on to that. And for this reason, he says, V'chein b'laz, and he says in Italian, it is, I'm going to mess up this Italian, but he says, embassia, infanno, right? Which means someone who's in a state of anxiety. Inyanam koten hanishima, which also literally translates in Italian to someone who has shortness of breath. So that's interesting. Meaning, in Italian, the word that means shortness of breath is also to denote someone who has, who's in a panic attack. And that was borrowed, that was used, that was transferred into the meaning of general, like, even though it literally translates these Italian words into the meaning of anxiety. It literally translates into the meaning of shortness of breath. It became a broader word that denotes etzvon viagon, which actually means like depression and affliction, but anxiety, that's the idea. So that's really interesting. It's just, right, so the chizkuni, we said, means like it's literally short breaths. And so the Shadal Rashi approach is where the short breaths are like a symptom of something greater psychologically. According to Chizkuni, it's a physical problem. You know, physically they are having a hard time listening to somebody when they're working so hard. Chizkuni, by the way, explicitly says you have to drop out the vav. It says mikotzer ruach u'me'avoda kasha. Like both things cause them not to be able to hear Moshe. So Chizkuni actually suggests you drop out the vav, which is very difficult. He says it's tafel. It's like meaningless, which is interesting. I saw that the Sefaria literally, like today, Sefaria has just uploaded the Tzafnat Paneach, which is the Ragachaver. If you guys know me, you know I love the Ragachaver. Maybe it's just people living in the 1800s. You know, he was born in 1858, and Shadal died in 1865. They couldn't be more different from each other in a lot of different ways within Orthodoxy. But anyway, so the Ragachaver says, a very ingenious, you know, what does it mean that they couldn't hear him, Mikotzeruch Mavoda Kasha? What exactly about the harsh work was it that they couldn't listen to Moshe about? So some suggest that the fact that Moshe, so Tzafnat Paneach doesn't say this, but some suggest that because the work got harder for the people, they couldn't listen to him because why would we listen to you? It's harder work right now, right? You had already come to us and you told us that we were coming out of Egypt, and then Paro made it worse. So why would we come? Why would we listen to you now? So that's the Avoda Kasha part. Tzafnat Paneach. He's just solving a different issue, which is the Kotzer Ruach and the Avodah Kasha, and he goes into how exactly the Hilchot Eved work and how Paro was trying to fulfill certain halacha and having to do with an Eved or not fulfill them or something, whatever. But one of the things he mentions there, which really stood out to me, is that maybe you could translate this pasuk as they didn't listen to Moshe, Avodah Kasha, because they wanted to continue to work. They enjoyed the work. They were like an Eved who at the end of the you know, the time period that they're working, let's say 7 years, they go over to their master and they say, I want to continue working, right? So that's basically what the Jews were doing. They were so embedded in their slave mentality, says the Tzafnat Paneach in so many words, which he does not say so many words, that they were they said to Paro, basically, we want to continue working. We don't want to listen to, we don't care about a Messiah. We're fine staying here. We know that Midrashim do talk about how a lot of Jews desired to stay in Egypt and died out because of that, in Makkah Choshech, and they left 1/5 of the people, which is a huge holocaust of the Jewish people, and it must show you how huge they must, you know, the Torah understands them to be, leaving Egypt. If they were 600,000 men just leaving Egypt, and that was 1/5 of the total before they had left Egypt, which is also puts into perspective why Paro was so afraid. But anyway, all of that is really interesting, trying to figure out these four words, Mikotzer Ruach Me'avoda Kasha. Very interesting trying to figure it out. And there's other Mefarshim besides, so keep looking around. I'm sure you'll find many more interesting understandings besides for that. Shkoyach, guys.